Now we're going to have our reading from Psalm 19, so please would you sit.
It's page 552 in the Bibles. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, guide us as we come to your word today, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andrew, for reading. What I want to speak about is knowing God. How do we actually come to know God? St. Augustine, who lived in North Africa around about 400 AD, he was one of the Christian faith's greatest ever thinkers. And he spoke of two books given to us by God, the book of nature and the book of scripture. And in this, he's echoing Psalm 19 that Andrew just read to us, which speaks, first of all, of the heavens declaring the glory of God, and also speaks of the law of the Lord. In Romans 1, Paul says about creation, he says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly understood. Have been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And the experts refer to this as general revelation. In other words, a revelation, a message given to everyone in creation, even those with no education or those who may never have heard of God or Jesus Christ. The Greek philosophers believed that human beings, as part of a coherent universe, we are all capable of understanding the design of the natural world simply through reason. Galileo wrote about how the book of nature can become readable and comprehensible. Everybody has a chance to get to know the beauty of creation and through it to learn something of the God who made it all. The problem is, this only tells you a limited amount about God. You might conclude, for example, that God must be powerful to create oceans and mountains and stars. You might conclude that he creates beautiful things if you love nature. But you can't get a lot further with the natural world, the book of nature. If you want to know more specifics, more detail, then you need the second book, the book of Scripture. And so in verse 7, the psalm turns to the law of the Lord and says that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. There are echoes in this section of the psalm, of Psalm 119, the longest psalm of all, which is an extended meditation on God's word, describing every aspect. Even Psalm 19 talks about the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts, the commands, the ordinances in Scripture. One lady in another church is just beginning to read her Bible, and she says she never realized there were so many good things in it. I actually lent her two modern translations, The Message, which I know a lot of you enjoy and love, The Message by Eugene Peterson, and also Tom Wright's new translation, The Bible for Everyone. These really help, actually, if you find reading the Bible hard going. Get yourself a good modern translation like The Message. And she said, even reading the introduction to the New Testament, you know, what the one page of what it's all about, she found that really, really helpful. We often advise new Christians to start out by reading a gospel, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. And there are two good reasons for that. One is that they're easy reading. The Gospels are page turners. They're good stories, and actually probably familiar already to anyone who's heard a bit about Jesus. If you start on page one of the Bible, as people sometimes do, then you may well find the Old Testament hard going by about the second book in. But the other reason for starting with the Gospels is that Jesus is right at the heart of our faith. The book of Hebrews explains it like this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus says this, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And then right at the end of John's Gospel, the writer explains it like this, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So we talk about the book of nature and we talk about the book of Scripture. And the book of Scripture tells us about Jesus. And the Bible is a bit like an hourglass. You remember those hourglass shapes that focuses and narrows down to Jesus. The Old Testament points in many of the prophecies towards Jesus. And then from Jesus, it expands out so the gospel fills the known world. But Jesus is at the heart of it all. He's at the core of it all, which is why we're called Christians after Christ. They used to joke, take Christ away from Christian and all you're left with is Ian and he can't save you. So how do we come to know God? Well, those two books, the book of nature and the book of Scripture. Nature may lead us towards God, but in Scripture we find Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing in him, we find life, true life, eternal life in the kingdom of God.